Elizabeth, Captive Princess, written by Margaret Irwin and read by Carol Boyd.
Part 1. Chapter 1. The fields were deep and ruddy with uncut corn, the orchards heavy with ripening fruit. Set in their coloured ring, the courtyard of the great house at Hatfield lay quivering in the dancing light, reflected off stone and brick and smooth cobbles. The waiting horses stamped and champed their bits, clanked their harness, tossed their heads, shook off the clustering flies that rose in angry clouds, only to sink and settle again, sent their shrill whinnying spinning up into the sunlight, complaining to each other that yet again their young lady was late. The subdued voices of the men standing at their heads grumbled in concert with them, and the buzz of the disturbed flies. The men had scurried and sweated to get themselves and their mounts ready on the instant they had been ordered, and here they had been banging about in this courtyard for the past half hour at least. What could the girl be doing to keep them all dangling like this? Surely she didn't need to titivate all this time in order to ride and see her brother before he died? For most of them there knew, or guessed by now, what message had been brought by the rider in Duke Dudley's livery, who'd urged his spent horse into this courtyard an hour or so ago, slid from the saddle, rubbing his sleeve across a face dripping with sweat, and demanded to see the Lady Elizabeth. She had seen him. She'd given order that an escort was to make ready on the instant to ride with her to London. She herself, but just returned from riding in the great park, would not wait even to change her dress. Had she changed her mind instead, since she did that almost as often? But would a girl of 19 be so heartless, and one so fond of her young half-brother and he the king? No one had said openly that King Edward lay seriously ill in his palace at Greenwich, but that was the noise in London, and noises from London travelled fast. The noises in the courtyard hummed and heaved. They killed off King Edward easily enough, a sickly boy who was always having colds and had been worked too hard at his books, though some murmured sympathetically that it was a pity, for the lad had shown a great keenness for sport since Duke Dudley had taken charge of him. Some of them put his much elder half-sister, the Lady Mary, on the throne, and supposed she'd down the Duke and bring back the old religion. Some thought the Duke would make a bid to keep his place by setting up her cousin, the little Lady Jane Grey, instead as queen, in the name of the new Protestant faith. He just married her off to his younger son, Guildford, which looked as though he had been planning some such move. Others again said, if England must keep a Protestant sovereign, why not their Lady Elizabeth, own half-sister to the king instead of mere cousin? And a likely lass with a fine taste in horseflesh, for all she'd kept them stewing and sweating in this leaden cup of a courtyard, where the sun poured down like molten brass. The murmurs and questions buzzed in the hot air. And then at last there was a stir within the silent house. A door banged somewhere. A voice called. Steps were heard running up and down the stairs. The great doors were flung wide, opening a dark, cool hollow in the glare of white heat. The steward of the household, Mr. Thomas Parry, came out puffily, blinked like an owl at the sunlight, turned his back on it, and bowed low. The men in the courtyard could just see a slight figure moving towards them, like a shadow through the dim recesses of the hall. A girl in a grey dress came out to the top of the steps, and there stood still, the sun beating down on her sparkling red hair and the winking jewels and buttons of her cap and riding dress. There she stood and stared, her eyes narrowing in a face grown suddenly thin and white, stared not at the brilliant coloured scene before her, but at a hidden danger just come to light in the sun. Her eyes closed against it, her face shut into a mask. Suddenly it flashed open,